Journalist John Ronson travels to Los Angeles to go on an adventure with the singer Robbie Williams in Robbie Williams and John Ronson, Journey to the Other Side.
I've been worried about doing this interview.
Why?
Because I haven't done an interview forever, and also, I forget what I think. So, I have been scared about doing this interview, A, because it's in England, B, because it's about paranormal stuff, and C, because I forget what I think an awful lot of the time.
A year and a half ago, Robbie Williams played the last of 59 stadium shows in a row, said he was going to spend Christmas at home in Los Angeles, and then basically vanished. He stopped releasing records and appearing much in public. A few days ago, he unexpectedly emailed me to ask if I wanted to meet UFO abductees with him in the desert in Nevada next Thursday. When he opens his front door, I hardly recognise him. He's grown a very big beard.
This is kind of like the first time, you know, that you've
started going... I'm piecing it together now. I've grown a beard, and I'm going to Nevada to speak to people about UFOs. I think I should shave, so I don't look that mad.
He's in his TV room, watching a UFO documentary on DVD with his girlfriend, the actress Ida Field. There are DVDs piled up on the table, with titles like The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up. At first I wonder if he's gone a bit crazy, like David Essex at the end of Stardust, but I don't think he has. He's just doing what lots of people do, including me, spending a lot of time on paranormal websites.
I spent so much time on the internet, looking at pictures, going on places like Above Top Secrets, reading conspiracy theories, etc., 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 that I want to do something. I want to go out there and meet these people and be a part of this. And, you know, with the run-up to 2012 and everybody going mental about that.
About the world possibly ending.
Yes, about Armageddon and all that business. But I want to go out and, other than sitting in my bed, watching the news at 10:30, I want to go out and do something.
So, Rob, what are we doing tomorrow?
Well, we're going to a UFO, the International UFO Conference in Laughlin, Nevada, to go and hear people's testimony about being abducted by aliens.
We look up the conference website. One of the speakers is a surgeon called Dr. Roger Lear.
And this is a doctor who has apparently removed 15 metallic implants from people, and he says they are not of earthly metal, and I'm hoping he's going to be bringing the metal along.
What, so you can see with your own eyes whether it's earthly or not?
Yeah.
According to John.
I mean, my problem with UFOs is that if they exist, why do they only ever reveal themselves to the human race in ambiguous ways?
I think that maybe they're making mistakes, to be honest with you. I think that the shield comes off and they've just made a mistake, and they're there all the time, that's what I think. I'm classic, don't show me any debunking stuff, you know, because I want to believe.
Robbie Williams first contacted me 3 years ago, in 2005, to say he liked a book I'd written about conspiracy theorists. He said he was thinking of spending a night in a haunted house, and did I know any? I said I'd make some inquiries. I phoned various ladies of the manor, and said that the pop star Robbie Williams would very much like to spend a night in a haunted house. I expected nobody to agree, but in fact, once I invoked Robbie's name, owners of country piles started flinging their ghosts at me as if they were their debutante daughters. I was surprised at how widespread the belief in ghosts was amongst the aristocracy. 100% of the people I emailed responded instantly to say their houses were definitely haunted and Robbie was welcome to spend the night. But in the end, our journey never happened. He cancelled because of his workload. But now he's taking a few years off work, and so we're going to Nevada.
From here to eternity! And beyond!
You guys want breakfast sandwiches? Ham, egg, and cheese on a croissant, and then ham, egg, and cheese on bagel, and fruit.
Ham, egg, and cheese on a croissant, please.
All right.
What is it that you wanted to leave behind from the other life?
Well, I've been working since I was 16. When I was in Take That,
you know what happened there, and then the solo career, and I've put out like 10 albums in 10 years, and it takes its toll, and I'm just having a break.
Robbie's brought along his girlfriend Ida and a lugubrious friend called Brandon, who seems anti-abductee. For instance, when Robbie wonders if the abductees will talk to us, this is Brandon's reply.
These abductees will talk to anyone. That's the whole point of being an abductee, isn't it?
After a 38-minute flight, we land in a desert airstrip where a car is waiting at the foot of the plane.
Have fun, guys.
Thank you.
Laughlin, Nevada is like a tiny, ugly Las Vegas. It's a cluster of down-at-heel theme hotels and casinos in an expansive desert.
What floor, though?
We head to the second floor of the Aquarius Hotel and Resort. We've been at the conference for 5 minutes when someone sidles up to me and says that apparently, a few nights ago outside the hotel, there was a battle between two reptilian beings. None of the delegates managed to photograph the aliens, but apparently a vial of blood was collected and is now in the hands of Dr. Roger Lear.
Doctor, sorry, I'm Robbie. Pleased to meet you.
Hi, Robbie.
I saw you at the Conscious Life Expo.
Oh,
and yes. I've seen you many a time on the Discovery Channel.
And a few different places.
Now, Roger, we've heard, to cut to the quick, we've heard you've got a vial of reptilian blood here in the hotel.
Well, you know how rumors go. No, I don't have a vial of reptilian blood. I had someone give me a tissue sample that he believes came from a 7-foot-tall reptilian being that he saw in his kitchen. So
Have you done any tests on it?
No, I just got it yesterday.
Okay. Roger, is it true that you have a number of samples of metallic objects that aren't earthly in origin?
That's true.
Are they here in the hotel?
No, there's nobody in the science field that would carry unknown samples around to hotels. That would be absolutely ludicrous, unscientific, and ridiculous.
Dr. Lear says he'll show us the tissue sample until we head to his room. Oh,
should we get the next lift?
Thank you.
Thank you for taking us into your room.
Where is it stored?
Oh, well, it'll be somewhere else after you leave.
Why?
Well, I feel it's some kind of physical evidence, and therefore I should do what I can to protect it, and I don't want to carry it with me.
So you're going to move it to different parts of the room?
Yeah, I'll move it around.
Can you describe what it is that we're seeing?
Well, it just looks like a little flake. You can see it on the bottom more easily.
Yeah, I can see
very,
it. Can I hold? It's a flake, probably around 2 centimetres by 1 centimetre. It's brown with a black line running through it. It could be a reptilian scale, which is obviously what, you know, one would hope. Or it could be a little bit of a wing of a moth. Could be a moth wing.
It could be an awful lot of things. Yeah. It could be a piece of chocolate. Who knows? So, this was given to you last night.
Right.
Are you excited about what it may be?
In short, no.
No.
No, not at all.
So, what's your thought process about this?
Well, I try and do it didactically, academically. I mean, it could be a piece of nothing. Now, to give you a good example, they came up with a case, an abductee who had an object that was surgically removed. And they gave me the specimen that they wanted me to look at. And then we get down the scanning electron microscope, and when we looked at the elements that were in it, it looked like maybe some organic compound. So we went to the next thing, which was called an FTIR. Long story short, it's a piece of wood. So I just spent about $25,000 to look at a piece of wood. So you ask me, do I get excited? Well, no, I don't get excited.
Do you get scared that they might want their stuff back?
Well, I try and stay pretty much with it. I've never...
No, I'm on about the aliens.
Oh, I didn't understand the question.
Well, do you get scared that they might want to come and take their transmitters back?
They want their implants back.
Oh, well, if they want to come take them back, they certainly have an advanced technology over we have. They wouldn't even have to appear to me. They could just take them and they'll all be gone.
Downstairs in the conference room, a British woman called Anne Andrews is telling the 500-strong audience about her son Jason. She says as soon as Jason was old enough to speak, he'd tell her that aliens would take him to their spaceship and make him a psychic healer.
And he said, I've been around for a long, long time. He said, I've been here for many thousands of years.
After some initial skepticism and much crying, Anne now believes Jason's story and has written a number of books about him, including Jason, My Indigo Son.
He said, I've been incarnated on this planet, I've been incarnated on many other planets throughout our universe and beyond. He said a lot of
people. She reminded me a lot of my mum. Happiness is surface nice. Mum was a tarot card reader, and in the shelf of books just outside her room, there would be the world's mysteries, elves, demons, witchcraft. She used to have people around read the tarot cards, read the palms. We'd talk about spirits, we'd talk about ghosts, we'd talk about the other side. And I was that scared that I never talked to my mum about it and just lived in fear of all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I want to find out why things that go bump in the night make me scared.
Anne Andrews says her son Jason was an indigo child, and I once actually went to a meeting of indigo children. Basically, what happened is the diagnoses of attention deficit disorder have shot up. I think, on average, 2 kids in every classroom in America have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder and are on Ritalin, which is obviously a really traumatic thing to happen to a family. And some of those parents, especially if they're slightly new agey anyway, have begun to decide that their kids aren't suffering from ADHD. What they are highly evolved indigo children who've been sent down to Earth to heal the planet. And they have meetings, they have indigo meetings.
Is it kind of, I can imagine that it would get a bit pageanty. Well, my child moves things with his mind. Well, my child can access the fourth dimension. So, trumped.
Well, I went to an indigo meeting once, and what they did was they blindfolded half the kids and told the other half to guide them across the room using telepathy. And I hate to say this, but they were bumping into pillars and falling over chairs. And
oh,
I know, it really put my heart to the end. Anyway, Anne Andrews believes her son Jason to be an indigo child.
With all of this stuff, whatever Anne Andrews has got to say, is kind of, well, if you're saying it, I have no reason to not believe you up until there's evidence that you shouldn't. For me, it's, why would you lie?
Back in the conference room, Anne Andrews is showing the crowd some very blurry photographs she's taken of UFOs. She says the aliens routinely take Jason away for indigo training aboard spaceships, and she sometimes manages to photograph it happening, but the pictures never come out well because she's only got a disposable camera. When it's time for the Q&A, Robbie's friend Brandon walks to the front.
Hello.
Hello.
Just wanted to ask, why don't you buy a better camera?
Because I am absolutely useless with anything technological.
Have you ever done any sort of psychiatric evaluation or presented yourself for that?
No, I haven't. I'd like to think that I would there, but I think that there's quite a few of us out there that have these experiences, so maybe we're all crazy.
Last night, Rob said to me that he didn't want to hear any debunking, and then he brings along to the convention the kind of Hitler of debunking.
Thank you very much. I've been called the Hitler of many things, never the Hitler of debunking. Well, I don't know. There's two sides to Rob in that respect, aren't there? I think there's a side of him that wants to go along with it, but there's also a very sarcastic, sceptical side to him, which I'd like to think is the real side.
My toes curled up the moment he walked towards the stage, and I think questioning somebody's sanity when this is happening to them is perfectly acceptable. I question my own. I'll go and say hello to that lady.
Anne Andrews is sitting at the signing table. She's signing copies of her books, including Jason, My Indigo Son, Raising a Multidimensional Star Child in a Changing World. Robbie gets one signed.
Hi, darling. I'm Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Nice to meet you. Are you signed?
What is it that Jason said when he was a child that started all of this for you?
Well, he called them at time little men would come in my room and they would make me float with them to a hospital, which he thought a ship was a hospital place.
Would there be 3 foot, 4 foot?
He said there would be about 3 or 4 of these little beings, about like 2.5, 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
But he said there was always a taller one, taller grey being with them. Of course, now he understands that the smaller ones are just like the drones that do their bidding. But he said the taller one was always in charge.
Did he feel safe with them or not?
No, at first he was absolutely terrified because it went against everything that we brought him up to believe in. But then he realised that they're actually awakening him to the truth of who he is.
Can I ask you, do you, because I do, a lot question my sanity as regards to this kind of stuff.
No,
do you still sometimes go, do you know what, have I gone mental?
Oh, all the time, yeah. You know, you look towards the rational and you go over everything in your mind and you think, is there a rational explanation? And of course, 9 times out of 10, you can't come up with one. We always say, well, you know, you either laugh or you cry, you know, and we've done so much crying over all this stuff.
And when did you come to terms with it? How long has it been? Since you said we believe you, Jason?
Yeah, I suppose even when we said to him that we believed him, I don't think we 100% believed him, but we believed that he believed it. And, of course, word got around in the small village where he lived. It got very, very nasty for him. So, you know, it's pretty awful, yeah.
What is it that he encounters from people?
In England particularly, people are really, really spiteful at times. They will ridicule, they'll poke fun, they'll call things out to him across the road and, oh, you know, mental boy and all this. It's just really, really nasty. I mean, he's actually even lost a job over this stuff.
If anybody had compassion, even if this was all made up, which I don't believe, by the way,
no,
an aside,
yeah,
but,
you
know, compassion should be shown anyway.
It should be.
Either which way.
It should be, yes.
Well, thank you, Anne.
You know, you look very much like Robbie Williams.
I am Robbie Williams.
I thought so. I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to sound stupid.
That's all right.
Can I just say that I'm a big fan of yours?
Oh,
anyway,
bless you. Thanks, Dolly. And please send him my best.
Of course I will.
Have a chat one day.
Oh, I'm sure he'd love it. He'd be so thrilled to know.
When did this kind of social shunning happen? What age was it?
I suppose it's when the first book came out, which is when he was about 14. He lost all his friends at school. Nobody wanted to know him. He was actually even suspended, well, eventually expelled from school because the headmaster was just so, I don't want this sort of thing in my school.
Must have been a horrible time for you.
It was.
And an awful time for him.
Oh, it was terrible.
It's just so sad to hear that happens, but I understand that it does because, you know, it's happened to me. I've had the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think joining Take That was like leaving on a spaceship.
Really?
Yeah. And coming back and all your friends going, right, it's weird now.
Yeah.
So I understand a little bit.
Yes.
But please send him my best. And it's lovely to talk to you. Tell him to drop me a line if he wants.
Yeah, oh, that would be lovely.
That's co.uk.
Okay. Yeah.
And there you go.
Robbie and Anne swap email addresses, and Robbie promises to go to her next talk next weekend in Pasadena. Anne says she used to do these talks with Jason, but now she's gone solo. Robbie's friend Brandon stands to one side, looking on a bit disapprovingly.
The fact that she's come here to stand up in front of all these people, it says something about her ego.
Rob was very nice to her. He was very nice to her.
Yeah, he does that. He's cunning. No, I know. I mean, listen, I'm sure she's a nice woman. Rob's very open to more open than I am to the kind of the spiritual side of it. The whole thing seems to be just lure you into her story. And ultimately, I've worked out what annoyed me about her. It's about her. It's her son. And her son, by the way, won't do it anymore. And she's got all her reasons. Of course, they're deeply spiritual reasons. She thinks someone's got to him somehow. He won't do it anymore.
I'm glad I had a chance to sit down with her and talk to her so I could see her eyes and read her. She's a really beautiful woman. She's really, really lovely.
I was taken by the fact that you felt empathetic with her son.
Yes. I'm asking the same question of myself anyway, about why did that nearly move me to tears.
The thing that I found most extraordinary about Anne Andrews is that she, for whatever reason, decided one day that all the unbelievable things her kid was saying, that he was visited by little creatures, she just decided one day to believe it all.
What's the other side of that, though? It's either believe everything that the boy's saying, or remain steadfast to earthly beliefs and have a black sheep in the family. That's, oh, it's him again. You know, and I think that for her own sanity, she's had to believe it. It's like your son turning around to you at 21 and going, I'm a gay! Okay, I'm not going to have grandkids then, I'll just have to get used to you being that way. For me, right now, everything that she says is true.
It's lunchtime. Robbie and Ida show Brandon and me some pictures he's taken on his phone that seem to show circles of light.
You've seen the orbs on the phone.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think they are?
Well, they could be some sort of... And I'm not a physicist.
Are you not?
No matter what anyone says.
Thought the wrong job.
But I wonder whether they... Yeah, I mean, they could be speckles of dust catching the light.
That's the sun refracting off the lens. I'm sure... If scientists weren't so thoroughly exhausted by these people, they'd go near it and explain it.
Maybe there's no sun out. This was taken...
It's just light, isn't it? I mean, you saw tons of them there.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, but when I would turn away from
every photo.
When I would turn away from it, no orbs.
So, well, we're in the line for the buffet.
We are at the waterfront buffet, about to get ourselves a load of carbohydrates, I'm sure. No, well, no, they do protein in it, don't they? Because they want everybody to carry on gambling.
Like that?
Yeah.
With their eyes wide open.
There's
no clocks.
No clocks. Also, they pipe in something through the... It must be pure oxygen.
Oh, they do,
Not so much here, because I can't feel it in that casino. But in Vegas, I'm never tired. Mm-hmm. No matter how late I've been up the night before, never tired.
They keep you awake and disoriented. Which, again, is what...
That's why I ended up in rehab.
You were awake and
disoriented for long lengths of time. I'm not joking.
Robbie, it's good to meet you. Thanks for being here, man.
Pleasure.
Word is getting around the conference that in the absence of any actual alien visitation, the most interesting thing to come down from the sky today is Robbie Williams.
Where are the under 30s?
That's half the problem. You see, what we need, Robbie, is someone like you to get them in.
Okay.
You know, we need a spokesperson out there doing that for us.
Are you enjoying it? I'm absolutely loving it.
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
He has to suspend his investigations while he signs autographs.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know who you are, but my daughter is working on it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robbie.
This isn't the first time that Robbie's fame has hindered his paranormal investigations. A few years ago, he invited a psychic to his home, but it didn't go well. The psychic sold his story to The Sun under the headline, I helped Robbie Williams talk to his dead nan. Robbie never spoke to him again. I think people who get contacted out of the blue by Robbie Williams sometimes end up like the gold prospectors in the Treasure of the Sierra Madre, who find treasure but go fanatical with greed and end up ruining it all.
Every time I put my foot in the water as regards to this kind of stuff or paranormal stuff, I instantly meet charlatans. You instantly come across people that you go, oh no, and you're supposed to be the authority on this, but you're obviously mental and none of it's true.
But you've been disappointed, basically.
Yeah, I've been really disappointed by psychics.
And did that not shake your wider faith?
I suppose it has, you know, but this might happen with UFOs too, and then I might be able to get on with my life.
And that's the end of the day. Robbie buys 15 UFO DVDs, and then we catch the plane back to Los Angeles.
You have the pile of DVDs that you bought yesterday.
Yeah.
Can we see some of the titles?
Okay. Stephenville, Texas, 2008 UFO sighting. Exposed. A remote view of aliens. Secret space, what is NASA hiding? UFO space anomalies from 1999 to 2006.
One of the things that really struck me yesterday, and it's borne out by the fact that, you know, your house is filled with these kinds of DVDs and books, is that you know, when you were talking to Anne Andrews, I noticed at one point she was talking about the little aliens and she said, I think of them as, and you both in unison said, drones. And at that moment I realised just how seriously you take this and just how much you know about this stuff that you could actually predict that she was about to say the word drones.
Mm-hmm. I used to read and watch all the news that came up, the BBC, all the news that would come up on the Sun, the Mirror, the Mail. I don't think people realise how much of their lives revolve around, you know, tabloids. Eventually I've had to not look at stuff because things there upset me, whether it be me or whether it be about somebody else, etc., etc. But I've had to fill that void, and that void has been filled with all of this stuff. This is now my tabloid read, basically. If this is made up, it's better made up stuff than they're writing. You know, it's more interesting, to me anyway.
And it's not about you?
Yes.
Are you worried that people are going to say that you've gone mad?
I'm worried that they think I've gone mad. I am a little bit, just because of how things can be portrayed and how easy it is to manipulate a mass of people, you know, which they do on a daily basis.
Robbie gets attacked a lot in the newspapers. When he used to look himself up, all the lies that were written about him would make him miserable, so I think it's healthy that he doesn't look himself up anymore. Although the world he's obsessed with now has its many liars too. People who say they've been abducted when they haven't. But he does seem happy, standing on his balcony with his girlfriend Ida, looking up at the sky, even if there's nothing up there paranormal to see.
Probably can see 100 miles in front of us. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I was going to say was, you see that kind of black bit right there? It's like dark fog. It's just a bit different from the rest. That's one thing that always strikes us, isn't it, babe? That there's always just right there a dark patch.
You know, but that might be something as easily explained as light pollution. If there wasn't a microphone on, I'd be like that. Yeah, babe.
Oh, sorry. Is this a bit where it's like a crazy thing?
This is where I get a bit BBC.
Oh, okay.
But
it's
right now, I'm
black
like...
black fog.
That's just light pollution. But if the microphone wasn't here, I'd be going, yeah, let's stare at it for an hour and a half.
Okay.
Materialise.
Do it.
I don't think there's anything tonight, John.
No.
To be honest.
Robbie and John, Journey to the Other Side, was written and presented by John Ronson. The producer was Laura Parfitt, and it was a unique production for BBC Radio 4.